what happened in October is that the Israelis got their talking points out brilliantly. And as someone who's done public communications, I can recognise. So the narrative went out, it was a surprise attack. There was no real context. There were Hamas butchers. They killed 1,400 people or 1,200. There was no context. Israel could do whatever it liked in order to implement its right of self-defense.
Israel has a right to defend itself.
Israel must have that, does have that right to defend herself.
All of those talking points are wrong. There was a context, the context of 1948, the dispossession of the Palestinians, the context of 1967, the context of the occupation, 2007, the context of the blockade, and then all the conflicts that happened since then. The idea that Israel has the right of self-defense. According to the 2004 legal opinion of the ICJ, occupied people cannot be attacked. The occupying power has an obligation to protect them. And yet here was Israel destroying, blowing them up, doing all these terrible things to them. The idea that it was a butchery by Hamas. People don't report much on the Hannibal directive. And this is a directive that comes, it's an IDF directive that they put to their soldiers. Haaretz, the newspaper in Israel, has reported, has investigated this. There were at least three areas where the Hannibal directive was invoked. Helicopters came in and simply destroyed anyone that was trying to get back in to Gaza. That included Israeli soldiers, Israeli hostages, and Hamas and others from Gaza. So there were charred bodies, cars completely blown to smithereens. We don't know how much of that was Hamas and how much of that was the Israeli army. We simply don't know. And yet we accept this narrative that there were these terrorists who came over and butchered 1,400 people. So as I say, the Israeli talking points are either wrong or simply unsubstantiated. And yet that was the narrative which has taken hold.
I saw little kids who are beheaded. We didn't know which head belongs to which kid. We saw a little baby in an oven. These bastards put these babies in an oven and put on the oven.
This idea that it started on October 7th, I first went to Gaza in 2006, and there was a blockade, a collective punishment.
The blockade of the Gaza Strip is creating an atmosphere of deprivation that can only deepen the sense of hopelessness and despair among people.
The whole blockade of Gaza and all the cruelty and economic stifling that we saw, all of that was part of a much bigger design, which ultimately is the determination by Israel that Palestine should not be a state, that Palestinians should not have the right to self-determination.
Our experience is that this radicalizes an already demoralized and isolated population, and the radicalization of Gaza does not serve the interests of peace.
In 2014, I was the UNRWA spokesperson when, during the war, actually, let me not call it a war, it isn't a war, you know, a war is between two opposing armies, and this is a group, 2.3 million people behind a fence who are completely defenseless. And yet we talk about Israel's right to self-defense. We don't talk about the right of self-defense of 2.3 million people who have absolutely nobody to defend them. And that's why actually it isn't a war. It's something else. It's a genocide, actually. So what happened was the Israelis hit a school, and Al Jazeera Arabic called me up and wanted an interview. And the Israelis had hit one of our schools. Children had been killed. Their parents had been killed as they slept in the morning in an UNRWA facility. And, you know, they went to that facility thinking that they would have... I really can't talk about it. It really triggers me. Let me try and carry on. Can you edit this bit? It just triggers me. It really does.
The rights of Palestinians, even their children, are wholesale denied, and it's appalling.
I think it really speaks to man's inhumanity to man that in 2014 there were 530 odd children who were killed, and this was absolutely appalling.
We have seen a school hit directly. Children sleeping next to their parents on the floor of a UN designated safe area have been killed. It is an affront to the humanity of all of us. The world should hang its head in shame.
Do
Did you tell them about the location of this school and how many people were inside?
17 times we called to give them the precise coordinates of this school and to inform them of the fact that 3,300 people had taken refuge there. So that is certainly not an excuse that can be given.
This is the second time this has happened with a large loss of life. How should the international community respond?
Well, we've made it quite clear that it's time for accountability. We've made it quite clear that those with the power to act should take deliberate political action.
Though nothing happened in the way of sanctioning the Israelis, we've now moved to a point where at least 20,000 children have been killed. We don't know how many. And yet, again, there is absolutely no meaningful international reaction. It's an abomination and the world should hang its head in shame. In 2014, in a very short war, over 2,000 Palestinians were killed, and there was frankly not much outrage whatsoever. Quite the reverse, people argued that Israel had the right to self-defence. And yet, on October 7th, half that number were killed, and yet there's sort of massive outrage. Of course, circumstances were different. You had the Israeli army indiscriminately bombing densely populated civilian areas. I would argue that's right up there on the scale of evil, against a proscribed organisation crossing over and, you know, admittedly a fence built round them and doing the things that they did. I don't think that comparing kinds of evil gets us very far, but one can certainly conclude that the international reaction to a Palestinian death is not the same as the international reaction to an Israeli or a Jewish death. And I think that double standard is undeniable. Clearly there is a double standard that 40 beheaded babies that Hamas allegedly did completely fake news wrong, made headlines, front pages, people like Piers Morgan bought into it.
I choked up earlier reading this new revelation about 40 babies being killed.
Oh my God.
And some of them being beheaded.
Biden bought into it.
I never really thought that I would see and have confirmed pictures of terrorists beheading children.
All sorts of people bought into it.
Babies and toddlers were found with their heads decapitated.
And yet you've got stories of beheaded babies, fetuses, not being even considered as a news story. We also, I mean, there are 150 babies born every day in Gaza, and there are no anaesthetics. So women are having birth, giving birth by cesarean section without anaesthetic. I want every mother listening to this to consider what that means. Having your stomach cut open for your child to be born without an anaesthetic. What has to happen in Gaza for the world to wake up to this massive double standard is extraordinary. And what we're now having today is people who've been starved literally to death are crawling to get food. They're being shot at directly by Israeli marksmen, and they're then being taken to hospitals where there are no drugs and anaesthetics to treat them. How more inhumane can we get? What's so extraordinary about it is that both the Israeli public and those who support Israel have lost their humanity.
How many civilians have been killed in Gaza, from what you know?
Who gives a shit?
Okay, but don't you feel like, for example, children?
Children grow up to be Arabs.
I mean, that's the extraordinary thing, that both within Israel, I mean, Israeli media self-censor, so they don't see a lot of it, but there's plenty of social media of Israeli soldiers posting on the internet the appalling things they are doing. But seeing the desensitization, that's the first thing that has to happen if you're going to have a genocide, actually. I mean, a conspiracy theorist might say that this was part of a genocide that's been going on since 1948. And Raphael Lemkin, the man who coined the phrase genocide, was very quick to say that genocide is a continuum. And many Palestinians would say that this continuum began in 1948 with the Nakba. It continues through the gradual dispossession to 1967, where you have the occupation. And if you're in Gaza, all the way through to the blockade of Gaza, which began in 2007. Then you have a series of wars in Gaza, because, of course, Hamas and others aren't going to lie there and play dead. They're going to try and resist this blockade, which is an illegal collective punishment. They don't have a conventional army. What can they do? They make rockets. I'm not someone who says that rockets are a good thing. Clearly they kill civilians, and clearly they're a violation of international law because they're so inaccurate. You know, you can't tell where they're going to go. Nonetheless, I think there is a reason for these rockets, and that's 2007 and the imposition of the blockade. And then what's happened is that the wars in Gaza have seen such little reaction from the outside world, the United States principally, but Germany, the European Union, Britain. They haven't sanctioned Israel. They've very belatedly imposed very, very soft and limited sanctions. And so at every stage, Israel has continued with this genocidal project, has looked over its shoulder and seen almost no international reaction. And so incrementally, it's got worse. And that's how we've got to a stage where I can burst into tears on international television and people can be very moved by it. And then here we are all these years later and children are being slaughtered in a genocidal campaign live on our television sets and no one seems to care. It's astonishing. But you know, the world would pay a very high price for this lack of humanity. Those governments which were on the wrong side of history will learn, and I think very harshly, that they were on the wrong side of history.
A siege is appropriate? Cutting off power? Cutting off water? Sakir?
Well, I think that Israel does have that right.
I think those politicians who were directly sanctioning genocide will be held to account. And I think that ultimately the state of Israel will face real destitution and ruin. So it doesn't end well for anybody, but least of all for the tens of thousands of civilians who have been butchered in Gaza. If accountability and justice does come, it'll mean absolutely nothing to them. And that's a huge tragedy. Gaza is unique in the annals of contemporary warfare in being the only conflict with a fence around it. Imagine any city anywhere in the world with 2 million people in it crammed in to this area behind a fence, and imagine then this kind of destructive conflict taking place every 3 years. There would be absolute outrage and dismay internationally, and that's what we should be seeing over Gaza today. What's really interesting about trauma in Gaza is that after the first conflict in 2008, a child was traumatised. Then in the next one, let's call it 2012, the child is dealing with the real trauma that's going on in its life and the remembered trauma. So there's double trauma. And then in the third trauma, you get the real trauma in the present being dealt with and the second trauma and the first trauma. So there's layer upon layer of trauma that these children are dealing with as there's more and more conflict. And that's the terrifying thing, that there are children who are being re-traumatized and re-re-traumatized and re-re-re-re-traumatized. And one talks about intergenerational trauma, that not only are these children who've been traumatized so many times, but they're going to pass their trauma on to the next generation. And that's really terrifying.
You were all of this. What do you expect me to do? Fix it? I'm only 10. I can't even do anything in this war. I just want to be a doctor or anything to help my people, my cat. I'm just a kid. I don't even know what to do. You see all of the kids around me? They're just kids. Why wouldn't you just send a missile to them and kill them? It's not fair. It's not fair.
I shy away from the analysis that says Palestinians are somehow in their DNA going to be terrorists and people who rise up and butcher their neighbours and whatever. I think that trauma has many different ways of expressing itself. But I think the key point here is that it's an obligation of the world to make sure that trauma is dealt with in a way which is best for each and every individual that's traumatised. I mean, the key thing about Palestinian resistance, I think, is it takes many, many different forms because the Palestinians are so intelligent and so creative. So, of course, just being there, just being on the land, just surviving on the land, saying, I'm here and I will not be moved. You can't genocide me out of history. That in itself is a hugely powerful revolutionary statement. But on the other hand, you've got Palestinians doing the boycott, disinvest and sanctions. There are many different ways that Palestinians resist. But the fact is, they have the right to resist occupation and they must never have that right taken away from them. Every Palestinian must be free and every Palestinian must be free wherever they are. You hear the Likud charter saying, from the river to the sea, you know, there will be no Palestinians. My point is that wherever the Palestinians are, they have a full range of rights as defined in the 30 articles of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the foundational document that gives us all of our rights. And those rights include the right to self-determination. The Palestinians must, and I believe will have one day, all of those rights. I think that predictions of the demise of the Palestinian people are premature. And I think that because time and time again, through so many of the conflicts, the Palestinians simply pick themselves up. Their dignity is somehow restored through their amazing humanity. and they carry on. And the tragic and the very sad thing in a way about all this is that I have no doubt that the children in Gaza who you see playing in the refugee camps, the children who you see striving to get an education, those sorts of vignettes of life in Gaza are the seeds of hope. And although it's very easy to cede to the counsel of despair, I refuse to do that. And I think that it's wrong, really, to talk about the final solution to the Palestinians. I think there are many Israelis and Americans in their sort of Hitlerian mindsets would love to see this as the final solution of the Palestinians. But the Palestinians are much bigger than that, and they have too long a history of national revolution and national pride. And I think we're going to see that rising from the ashes of Gaza. Double Down News brands itself as the future of journalism. And I have to say, the more I consume media stuff, the more I think they really are the future of journalism. They dare to say things which other people don't. They dare to challenge the narrative, the orthodoxy that's pervaded by many of mainstream media. And I think for that reason alone, amongst many others, I think they're really worthy of your support. So join the future of journalism. Support Double Down News on Patreon.